Hello, and welcome to the Movie Bunker podcast. It's me, Matt.
Hello, it's me, Chris.
I nearly forgot how to say Movie Bunker podcast.
It's been so long, you've got to put your teeth in for that one. We're back. How have you been, Matthew? It's been almost a year.
It's been almost a year. Yeah, I lost the keys to the bunker, so I was just locked in there. and I kept waiting for you, Chris, but you didn't come, man. You just left me there.
Is that what those strange scratching noises were? And the smoke signals and stuff? I didn't realise.
No, that's because after trying to pound the door for such a long, the calluses on my hand grew so large that that noise was just the sound of me masturbating.
I just thought it was some massive rats that we have down here scurrying around. Well, it's been a long time. We took a long break. And who knows? There might be another year in between this episode and the next one. We are probably the most tardiest podcasters when it comes to reviewing bad movies. But it's been a troubling couple of years and the whole world's gone to shit. And looks like it's getting back to normal. Fingers crossed. Touch wood.
Touch woods.
We thought we'd come back with something that, you know, when you're coming back from a big break... The person you'll go to is Nicolas Cage, because
I think he's been trolling me, to be honest, during our sabbatical. It's like I didn't think we had any celebrity fans, and now I'm fucking convinced Nicolas Cage. Because I mean, I think I text you halfway through because he did a film called Primal that came out.
Yeah,
it's a story about a hunter on a boat. And he captures a white jaguar, and there is an assassin on the boat, and they escape. And I thought, hello, he's after me here. That's clearly one that he wants me to do. And then there was Pig, which is actually meant to be quite good, right? Pig, I think it's meant to be quite good. It's like John Wick, but instead of the dog, there's a truffle pig involved.
Yes.
But then Willy's Wonderland, and I remember seeing the thing on the screen, and I actually sent you a fucking text, a screen grab of it, and like, it's calling us, Chris.
Yeah, yeah, there was definitely something in the air when this was being made and put out. It's like, this has got to be done by the bunker. We haven't deliberately gone and asked anyone if they'd like to do this with us. This is a good settle-in movie because it's... Well, it's a good movie to come back to.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, of everything, like we say, Nick Cage will draw you back to the bunker.
Yeah.
But in time honoured tradition, put your teeth in, we ought to do the plot synopsis. Willy's Wonderland. Now, it came out last year and it's out on Sky Movies. That's what we've watched it on. But I'll give you the plot synopsis. This is the IMDb plot synopsis. A quiet drifter is tricked into a janitorial job at a now condemned... At the now condemned Willy's Wonderland, the mundane tasks suddenly become an all-out fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics. Fists fly, kicks land, titans clash, and only one side will make it out alive. Now, I mean, that plot synopsis sounds bloody awesome.
Yeah, I did not watch the film. I've just seen as well that the poster's tagline is, 2020 isn't over yet, kids.
Yeah, like what? Because that was COVID, it was so shit. It's like it's preempting the fact that it couldn't get any worse, but demonic animatronics are let loose. What's weird about this movie is, you know, we used to talk obviously on previous episodes when we used to do this every week or whatever, that there's always a big contrast between IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
On this occasion, it's a rare one because this actually is a lower rating. Usually IMDb is kind because obviously we know the reviews done by the general public or whatever.
Yeah, tens or ones. That's all you get on IMDb, tens and
so
ones.
This is a 5.5 out of 10. But however, going to Rotten Tomatoes, which is usually kind of where we gauge everything from, is 61%, which is not a splat. It's a whole tomato, and it's got a fairly decent audience score of 68%. So kind of the reverse of what you normally see. And I can't really see why. I mean, there are it's one of those things because you go in on paper, this looks like it will be an absolute hoot. And I know kind of you gauge everything by, you know, alcohol consumption when it comes to something like this, especially maybe some of Nicolas Cage's later works, especially. I mean, he's become an enigma, hasn't he? I mean, he the world of Cage on screen is so bizarre. And now it's becoming almost like watching somebody have some sort of acting nervous breakdown or something. I don't know.
I wonder if it's something like that that Joaquin Phoenix did, where he kind of like lived like a life, like a year as a sort of experiment. And I wonder if this is just like a huge, massive art installation that he's put together of his, you know, latter half of his life.
Yeah.
Because it's just fucking mental, the films he's doing.
What were your first thoughts about this? I mean, obviously, before you go there, actually, before you go there, let's just say the cast. It might be worth, before we talk about what we thought of it, because the cast is pretty non-existent. There's about, what, there's two or three actors in here of, well, there's two actors of note.
There's two.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage and Beth Grant.
Yep.
And Beth Grant's been, I'm trying to think what I've seen her in recently. She's played a similar character of a grizzled old lady who's a bit suspicious, and I'm trying to think what I saw. Maybe it was a TV series or a box set of something I've seen on Netflix or something. But she's very sinister.
She was in Donnie Darko. She was in Speed, No Country for Old Men, Little Miss Sunshine. I mean, she's fucking got some
chops. But the other actors, I mean, there's another sort of kind of lead, which is Emily Toster, who plays Liv. As like there's a group of teenagers who are doing stuff, and they're all fairly they're adequate. And there's Rick Reitz, if that's his name, who's the Tex Bacardo, who's like this, I don't know, boss of this boss hog of, the trickster. But yeah, initial thoughts, Matthew, crack on, because
my initial thoughts were, and this is something that we've talked about before and is a fair gauge of any film, is the number of production companies involved and their logos at the start of a film is normally a good sign of how shit a film is. This film has six production company logos, and I actually, after finishing watching the whole film, I restarted the film and timed how long it took for the production company logos to finish. It was 63 seconds of production company logos. Like, that's excessive, right? Like, that's a lot of opinions to have on a film about a bunch of manic animatronic dolls. Yeah,
but that is true. I think I noticed the same thing. It's like, now we've been doing this, and we've been, well, we're over 100 episodes, aren't we, in this podcast? And we've seen more or less 100 bad movies, and the worse, or the badder the movie, excuse my English, the more production companies there are, because obviously getting finance for this sort of thing is tough. But anyway, it's a bad sign.
And then the opening, so we see Nicolas Cage driving recklessly in a muscle car, and then he runs over some spikes, and his tires pop. And then a really weird thing happens. He just stands there, and I estimated from the movement of shadow, he stood completely still for approximately 4 hours.
Well, this is the thing. It's directed by my 8-year-old son, I think, because it's there are so many inconsistencies with the cutting and continuity.
Oh, yeah, there's some bad continuity in this. Like, his plaster on his face comes and goes and appears before it actually needs to and stuff. It needs its own billing on the cast, really, the plaster, because it's quite the plot device.
People get, like, things happen to people, and then you'll believe it's going one way, and then in the next scene they're not in the peril, or they're completely out of the peril, or they're in a different room and we don't see how they got there. It's very weird. And like I say, there are tropes in here about the cutting. There's some real kind of
I made one. Yeah, there was an Edgar Wright handcuffing
exactly
at one point, and I thought, and I actually put Edgar Wright handcuffs. I thought, oh, hold on. If someone's like highly inspired by Edgar Wright, or the kind of, you know, this might actually be good. This might turn out to be non-shit.
Yeah.
There wasn't another one after that. There was just one Edgar Wright handcuff.
No, but I think there are more. I think there's lots of little nods to that kind of quick edit style. And there's bits where, you know, all the teenagers come into view but staggered at one time. And that's very Edgar Wright's kind of almost like the World's End type thing. And, you know, double takes and quick camera spins and things like that. And I thought that was very reminiscent of Edgar Wright. And I thought, you know, that's someone who's taken lots of cues from him. But
not enough.
Yeah, but they've cut it. Clearly, they've cut it to fit like a nice lean 90 minutes, which is great. It's very short. Well, it's bang on, I think. And that helps. But in doing so, they've compromised the storytelling. to such a degree.
Well, you say that. I would say there is no story to tell here. So, should we talk, what did you ask about your opinion about, like, the biggest kind of plot device, or not plot device, but the quirk of this film? And that is the fact that Nicolas Cage does not say or utter a single fucking word the whole film. And not like a few words or even some noises, just literally nothing.
Yeah. He's completely silent. Why? Yeah, it's an odd choice, because I think what they were trying to go for, obviously, is the drifter, the nomad, the guy, the man with no name. It's, you know, it's like a Western feel. Yeah. He's breezing in. We don't know why he's in the town or he's visiting the town. He's got a very he's got a lovely sports car.
Lovely car.
Yeah, he's dressed like...
Doing all right for himself.
Yeah.
He's got some sort of drink addiction, but apart from that, he's doing all right.
Yeah, the fizzy pop. Not alcohol, fizzy pop thing that he's got going on.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I did think it was beer, but I couldn't work it out. Some sort of energy drink called Punch. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so on the hour or whenever he takes breaks, literally, you know, he works by the clock and he has to stop whatever he's doing to get his energy drink and play a pinball machine. Which he goes full Cage on when he does his little dance routine.
This fucking, that is worth, I mean, that's got to be on the trailer, right? I'm sure that bit's on the trailer, because they wouldn't leave that out. That's kind of the only reason you're going to watch this film, is to see Nicolas Cage basically dry humping a pinball machine whilst dancing at the same time.
Yeah.
Why
do you think they've gone with this kind of...
Well, I think... It's one of two things. One, it's lazy writing. and they just couldn't be asked to write. And they've gone full, like you say, man with no name kind of thing, drifting through. That's kind of like the lowbrow version. The second version would be that they wanted the audience, the viewer, to fill in the blanks, to put in their own storyline. Because when I was watching this, because it is odd, this film, we can't get, like, I mean, the concept is fucking odd, right? That there's these, it's not that odd, I suppose. You've kind of seen it in Chucky and some other bits and pieces where inanimate objects get possessed by like psychopathic killers, right? So it's something we've seen before, but, you know, not maybe in quite such a fluffy way as this before. But I was kind of thinking, right, because he keeps carrying on, right? So he's we kind of skirt on the plot, but he has to clean Willy's Wonderland so that he can get his car back, because they set up this whole contrivance so that they pop people's tires, they then charge them an extortionate amount to fix the car, but they don't take cash or don't take cards, they have to pay cash, and they offer them, if they go clean Willy's Wonderland, then they can work off the debt and they'll fix the car and bring it to him in the morning. Most people, obviously, as soon as one of the things starts to fucking kill them, probably forget the cleaning part, right? But I mean, Cage does a smashing job of cleaning this place, right? Like, at one point I'm like, he ain't ever gonna get that bathroom clean. Like, fucking Mrs. Hinch couldn't get that bathroom clean. Yeah. By the time he's finished, it's fucking spotless. But he keeps kind of, you know, monster of the week coming across the bad guys, killing them in a really, probably, let's call it, unspectacular way.
Yes.
And then carry on cleaning. And I was thinking in my head, right, it's gonna transpire that he maybe escaped as a small child, and actually he wanted to go back in there to enact a vengeance upon the Willy's Wonderland motherfucking creatures. And I kept putting all these stories in myself, and maybe that's what they wanted. Maybe they wanted you to fill in his backstory. Maybe they didn't want to spoon feed you. And maybe I've given it a huge amount more credit than it deserves there. But that's the only thing I could think it could do.
Well, that's a great idea. And what you've described there would have made a very interesting twist, is that he was a child that escaped and his parents were killed there. And, you know, he knew the sheriff lady or something, there was a connection, or anything like that would have been something. Because the kids turning up to set fire to it is one thing. There is a little bit of reveal that I won't completely spoil, that there is a connection between the kids and the sheriff and stuff that you see later. But and that's something that's sort of going that way. But yeah, the man with no name, you know, Nick Cage, the janitor, he's a tool to move the story on. We know you know, he's
born to clean, that man.
Yeah, we know born with to clean. We know what we're going to get with him. He goes full into it. He's not playing. He's not phoning it in. He's really giving the performance. And obviously he's deranged, and I think it's quite clear that he's psychotic and there's an issue, because any person, as you say, would be freaking out, but he's relishing and he's enjoying dismembering animatronic
and
ostriches.
And then cleaning afterwards.
Yeah, he's not fazed, and I mean, they are nasty.
They didn't seem that tough. I mean, I don't know how long they've been going, but it's not like he fucking went like full, you know, Jet Li, Jackie Chan on the fucking things. He kind of just pushed one and then pulled its head off.
Yeah, he beats them up like he's in a bar brawl. Whereas, you know, you would think he would need weapons. And I know he has a few weapons, or he makes weapons at some points, but he's got no gun or anything. So he's killing them with his bare hands.
That reminded me of one of the weapons he made. I don't know if I made a note of it. It goes, like, he goes off and he's looking for stuff and he gets a stick. He snaps it off and then he gaffer tapes it together. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, how is that any better than just having two sticks?
Yeah,
So what have you...
Yeah, it is bizarre.
It's just not... It's no better. I almost expected a montage of him going in like...
If we were to draw a graph of my process, of my method, something like this... Sir Ian, action. Wizard, you shall not pass! Cut! Sir Ian.
Are we going with any redeeming features at this stage? Or are we saying... What are we saying this has got going for it, if anything?
It's got Nicolas Cage going for it, right? I mean, you can't deny the madness of the fucker, right? It is slightly transfixing. You mentioned the pimple scene. So the character inexplicably has to go and have a drink whenever his alarm goes off and play pinball. And at one point, like, he's literally in the middle of a fight with one of these creatures with Liv, and his alarm goes off and he just sort of stops, turns to Liv, hands her one of his weapons, and then just walks off. And then, you know, I think that might be the big dance one. You think that goes off and does that. So it's weird, and but it is kind of fun to watch him do that.
Yeah.
The rest of it's not any good. The action is awful. There's no scare in it. They do that very, very, very 80s, 90s horror trope of the attractive couple going off and randomly having sex in the middle of a terrifying situation.
Yes.
But why would you do that? Like,
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even piss at that point.
Well, you'd be pissing down.
So frightened I would be to.
You'd be pissing down your leg because you wouldn't have any control of your bodily functions, because it's terrifying what's going on in this house, in this amusement park place. The thing is, it's quite claustrophobic as well. I mean, there's no, it's not a lot in terms of set. So there is literally a few rooms and a few scenes set in a car and a garage.
Well, I think there's three rooms, right? There's the weird kind of fairyland, which is very clean compared to the rest of it. There's the main kind of cafeteria area where Willy does his big performances.
Yeah.
And then there's the room where all the bad stuff in the past happened.
Yeah.
Oh, and the bogs.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I think this film kind of is only a really genuinely a film that you would recommend to sort of hardcore Cage fanatics, and something to watch when you're fairly drunk. And we do often talk about the drunker meter. Yeah. I had a few days off this weekend, so I watched it on a Sunday night or Saturday night, I can't remember, quite late, and I'd had a couple of very large espresso martinis, because I'm into that right now. That's what I'm into. I can make a nice mean espresso
martini.
Well, you
could start a box set at 11 o'clock at night then, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And you're banging down your espresso martinis.
And then I was thirsty after them, because they don't, you know, they're not a refreshing drink. And so I had a couple of Desperados as well. So I was on the way. I was blurry. It was a similar thing the week before when I watched Nobody, the film that's with... What's his face in it from? And that is brutal and hilarious. And I was chuckling away, having a right old laugh with that film. But this one, you would think, would make you feel a bit like, you know, it's got a similar kind of thing where it's all out in your face, fisticuffs, bizarre craziness. I don't want to say batshit crazy, because that in itself is a is overused, but I mean it is. And it left me very kind of, oh, that's a shame. I really wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah, I wanted to be wrong about it, right? I wanted to be pleasantly surprised. I wanted to find that. And that's the thing with Cage. You can watch 12 Cage films, 10 will be awful, 2 will be absolutely genius. And it's like, you just never know what you're going to get.
I wonder what Pig gets in, like, in terms of, because it's a similar, it came out a similar time, or at least there's a potentially release time for the UK, might be quite similar. But, you know, that's again, and that got a lot of praise, I think, just because of his performance and just how he approached that role. And it's certainly not a bad film from what I can gather. But
that's a 7, Pig.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that is, you know, the contrast of what he can do when he, you know, when he wants to. And I think he's just...
That sounds like a ridiculous storyline, right? A man goes in search of his truffle pig. But those fucking pigs are worth a fortune.
Yeah.
Like, that must happen all the time. People must get their truffle pigs nicked because truffles are expensive, right? If you found yourself a pig that can find a truffle, you're in gold, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's gold. Right. I need to get myself one of those truffle pigs. Let's go to some reviews, because I think we can categorically say that it is a bunker movie, I'm afraid. I mean, without spoilers for the end. But most people, I think, are in agreement. That let me just read out some good reviews just to give it some contrast. And this is I'm taking this straight from Rotten Tomatoes to start with, because it's right in front of me. So the Daily Beast, a journalist, top critic. It aptly fulfills its promise as a bonkers saga about Nicolas Cage battling satanically possessed fantasy robots in a funhouse restaurant. And really, that's no small accomplishment. And that's a pretty good review. Willy's Wonderland, this is from somebody else from Variety. Willy's Wonderland has the garish stop-and-go rhythm of an 80s slasher film. And I mean that as a compliment. And then some other guy from The Hollywood Reporter says, at this point, Cage's movies don't have to be reviewed, but rather stamped with official certificates of weirdness. So not really condemning it, just saying, you know, this is what it is. And there's plenty of splats, you know, saying it's pure bonkersness, but in a bad way, as opposed to a good way. So I think it's whatever side of the Nicolas Cage fence you're on. But this is a good one, because it said the result, nearly 90 minutes of wordless Cage beating fluffy mascots with broom handles or hard rock plays on the soundtrack. It could be ironic commentary or an art film stunt, but it's mostly agony.
It pretty much sums it up, right? Because the thing is, I thought this was another Nicolas Cage needs to pay tax film. But then reading on the IMDb, he's one of the producers, because obviously you mentioned there's quite a few production companies involved, but he was one of the producers on this and kind of really was the one driving the fact that he wouldn't speak and stuff. He wanted to do this film. Like, he was handed this and something, and he went, yeah, this is it for me.
Yeah. IMDb is even sort of is more diverse in terms of like the kind of scores that people.
There is another film called Five Nights at Freddy's, which apparently is similar. I haven't seen that, so I wouldn't know. But apparently, most people on IMDb giving it low ratings are doing it because they believe it to be a pure ripoff of Five Nights at Freddy's.
But imagine this done well, all right, with Nicolas Cage still in the role, fleshing out a bit of his backstory, giving a bit more purpose, having like a bit more of an expansive set like Westworld. You know, it's a similar kind of thing. You know, the animatronics are coming back, they're turning against their masters. It could work if there was like a chip inside that, you know, went rogue or whatever, instead of this kind of satanic thing, which is a bit weird and I know, unbelievable. But at least if they were, you know, animatronics from the future that had, you know, that had gone,
I think they
had gone
could have
wrong
done with like having less animatronic characters and kind of having more character in the characters, if you know what I mean. So like, I can remember there was a crocodile and a tortoise, and there was one that was clearly a human being with a mask on, and a gorilla. It'd be cool if they actually killed people in a kind of way that aped back to their psychotic style of days, whereas they all just seemed a bit, you know, a bit samey, and they all kind of died very easily and samey. It's like, yeah, if they just was less of them, so they could still keep that 90 minutes, but, you know, had flashbacks to the psychotic human version of that animal.
Yes.
So that we could see exactly, you know, he likes to pull people's intestines out their assholes or whatever. Like,
you always go to assholes with your killing. Sick bastard.
Well, it's humiliating as well as brutally painful, I imagine.
I've been to Disneyland Paris, Euro Disney, as I like to call it, and you could imagine this sort of thing kicking off there, but with the people inside the suits being slightly deranged or whatever, or any, you know, you go through, it's a small world and all trying to kill you. It would, you know, in a bigger setting with a bit, like I say, a bigger cast, and they're talking, you could really explore some crazy stuff, you know, a cross between this movie and I want to say Zombieland or something like that. You could imagine it being quite, you know, funny and snappy and a bit popcorny, but
one of the sort of big plot holes that I thought was, and I thought it'd pay off later, excuse me, a bit windy pops, I thought it would be explained as to why this wouldn't have been a good idea, but right at the start we see Liv dousing Willy's Wonderland in petrol and then light her lighter, and she's like about 2 inches away from her petrol bubble. And she, like, the police are like, no, don't do that. And then she gets, like, arrested. And I thought, oh, maybe because, like, she was frightened that she would be, you know, go to prison for a long time because there's people there or something. Or maybe they're frightened that you can't kill these creatures like that. But clearly, had she just dropped the lighter and the place gone up, they would have died horribly because they don't seem that tough. And they're made of fluff.
Yep.
And it would have all been over. And the village would. And the thing is, it's like, why did no one else think of doing that when they all started killing people? Rather than go, what should we do? Oh, well, we could probably just shoot them. No. What? No, we need to do something else. Well, we could set fire to the building. You know, no. What else could we do? Well, we could set up an elaborate ruse to kick people into town to pretend to clean it and hope that the human sacrifices appease them. That's the one. Brilliant idea.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There's no rhyme nor reason. I know it's a cover up, and they are thinking that these guys escape, but lock them in, set fire to the place, and then just get some machine guns and blow them up or whatever. Because they were, like I say,
it's set in America, right? I mean, I think they've got some guns out there. Generally speaking, it's a perceived fact that occasionally there will be a gun in America.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage can kill these things with his bare hands, so they are capable.
No, come on, Chris. Give it. It's fair dues. It wasn't his bare hands. It was a stick that taped to another stick.
The double stick combo.
I mean, as an advert for gaffer tape, this works.
I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty as fuck.
I've just remembered, you know, what I love about this podcast is that we get to watch these absolutely crazy movies and then talk about them for 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's easily done because you keep going, oh, I remember that bit where they landed in the tiny ball pit from the really big roof.
Yeah, the bit I can't sort of get out of my head is, you know, the bit you mentioned earlier on was with teenagers and sex. At any point in a terrifying situation, you get horny.
Yeah, so even to the point, right, at one point the fucking animatronic animals that they're there to kill, it's not like a mystery to them, it's not like, you know, a lot of horror films where you see them, they're having fucking sex in the woods or something and then they get murdered horribly.
Yeah,
these kids know about these creatures, these kids have gone to that place to kill those creatures, they're having sexual intercourse.
It's all right, we're all
and
adults.
And then she looks over, sees one, and doesn't even stop a stroke.
No.
Like, doesn't break rhythm.
No. He's not bothered. Well, he wouldn't be. I think
he's
he'd be less.
Well, he's like, nah, man, you just finish up. I'm nearly there. I don't care if I get eaten by a plastic fucking crocodile, which is my other problem with this film. Is like, how would it kill you? Like, at one point, someone gets stabbed with a huge foam sword. Go straight fucking through them.
Yes. That's not a real sword.
It's not a real sword.
That's not, that sword's not been sharpened.
It doesn't even look like a real sword. No.
It's something you can get from the gift shop. I mean, it literally is one of those like Legoland ones.
Little pirate ones. Yeah. Maybe I should be more careful with them in future, because I've been smashing them around the back of my kid's head for about 4 years.
So this one's not being released, Matthew. I think we can safely say it's not going up there, is it?
No. It was borderline, and then there was two scenes of uncomfortable staring between Nicolas Cage and Liv, during which one of my wife just went, if these two get it on, I'm fucking leaving.
Hang on a minute. You've sat and watched this with your wife?
Well, she got up to the point where they stared at each other, and then she felt uncomfortable and left. She's like, could be a great granddad. Not even granddad, man, just great granddad. Like,
yeah. No, that's not right. I did sense something was happening, but I thought it was more of a kinship as opposed to kind of anything.
Yeah, I mean, you can dye your hair all you want and wear some sunglasses inside, but that does not make you 20 years old.
No, no, and she deserves a lot better than that. But yes, it's staying downstairs with us in this drippy cold bunker. So yeah, Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland.
If you're crazy enough to sit through it, after a few beverages, then please, please do. It's, well, like a lot of these movies, we want you to share it with us anyway, because you can say, oh God, yeah, they were right. Or, oh, they were absolutely wrong. I love this movie.
They missed that.
Let us know. If you really love it, get in touch via the usual channels. So next week, or the next time we get together to do a podcast, we'll be doing another crazy ass film. So if you've got any suggestions you want to put us through it.
I've just gone to IMDb and Matrix Resurrections counts. It's only 0.2 better than Willy's Wonderland.
Well, there you go then. Maybe we should do it.
5.7 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's, there you go. Matrix Resurrections.
I mean, we have to buy it, but you know, there's worse things to do over weekend.
Yes, I'll get in touch with my assistant bank person to lend me some money so I can just put the money into the TV. How do I do it? Just is there a slot?
Yeah, you just throw it really forcefully at the screen.
Matthew, let's tell all the kids out there how they can get in touch with us. If they want to, just follow us on all the kind of social media platforms are out there. But we got a website. If you go to the website, it's beautiful. It'll point you to everything you need to know. And the website address is
www.moviebunkerpodcast.com.
Seamless, like old times. Also,
just checking to see if it still works. It does still work. Hurrah!
Also, we don't have Patreon. We don't have advertisers or anything like that. But if you want to buy us a coffee, you can do that. And there's a link to the coffee donation page, and that's in the show notes as well.
Or you could buy us a Matrix Resurrections or whatever it's called. You could buy us one of them.
Ah, yeah. Actually, if you donate with a coffee, which is about £3, you can do it one off. You can buy one a month. That will help us pay for the subscription charge. I'd withdraw the money and I'll just throw it at the TV, like Matt said, and just see what happens.
Yeah, that'll work.
Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure.
Lovely.
Back in the saddle. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
Isn't this the uncomfortable bit there where I try and close it?
Yeah, this is the bit I look forward to every... Well, I used to look forward to every week, and now I look forward to once a year, being married.
But what I've noticed is that I've done it, though, because I did all that awkward... I did all the awkward bit that I usually struggle with.
Yeah, but you still haven't said bye yet, have you?
Ah, right. So,
See?
Until next time, it's bye. It's goodbye from me.
It's like you never left.
See you later, Matt.
Bye.